Okay, everybody, lift your heads up. Let me examine your faces. Okay, none of you look quite like this poor fellow here, which is good. I'm glad. But maybe you can empathize a little bit with the way that he seems to be feeling there. And sometimes there are things that trouble us, that disturb us, that agitate us or bring fear into our hearts because of events that take place that just seem to be outside of our control. Kind of like Martha there when she had shown this hospitality, invited the Lord into her home. And just imagine that some of the disciples, if not all of them as well, kind of come along in there with the Lord. And here's a household of people. And here her sister is not helping her at all. She's sitting there with the guy folk and listening to Jesus when Mary or Martha is all about trying to take care of and minister to them and show hospitality to them. And most certainly we can understand how that she could have gotten agitated. I think when we read that passage, though, a lot of times we go, oh, well, you know, no, Mary, I see, you know, the point. I see that it should be that Martha should have gotten it all, you know, from the beginning. And well, we do that because the story's in the Scriptures and we know Jesus, what Jesus said and such. But if we took it outside of the Scriptures and took it outside of Jesus and saying that, I think we can probably pretty well associate with Martha, can't we? There are things in life that cause trouble in our lives. And one of the things, though, are things that are outside our control. And we just can't do anything about it. It's kind of like, you know, that little kid there in the car. He's got a steering wheel, you know, sitting right up there with whoever the driver is, but sitting right up there with the driver. But you and I both know as much as they turn that little steering wheel and as much as they stop down there on the seat, you know, trying to push pedals and such as that, they don't really have any control at all where that car goes and what it does and when it stops and when it takes off and when it turns and backs up, you know, none of those things, do they? Just no control whatsoever over that. And sometimes that in and of itself is an agitation. That is troubling because we can't control it. And I have to admit, I'm a bit one of those that sometimes people call control freaks. I don't think there's anything freaky at all about me. But you know what they're calling a control freak, I have to admit, you know, probably that is a bit like me because I'd just soon be behind the wheel, wouldn't you, Al? And and why are you bringing me into this, Al? You know, and you know, when something goes wrong, when something goes down, when something's taking place, and the car's sliding on ice. You know, that happens here all the time, right? And I was talking to my sister the other day, and she said, yeah, she said, there was somebody driving down the street here the other day, and they had California plates, and they just had an ice storm. And she said, they were, you know, just like a pool ball bouncing off of, you know, the edges of the pool table. Said, you know, they were spinning and they were sliding. And said they just didn't get, you know, well, just slow down. Let it kind of creep, you know, just drive, you know, drive on the ice. But, you know, I want to be the one that's taking control of things. And so it can be agitating when we don't have control over things. And sometimes it can be frightening, just like there in the case of Martha. So we're probably as well familiar with the Sermon on the Mountain, aren't we? And many of those things were taught in other places. I don't know that necessarily that Martha was present there at the Sermon on the Mountain. That wasn't necessarily there in her neck of the woods where that took place. But nonetheless, those teachings were repeated throughout Jesus' travels, throughout his journeys. And so as he was going about and teaching different things, there's a good chance she had heard, you know, those ideas before, even though this is pretty early in the ministry of Jesus, and that is, be not anxious. You know, don't be troubled. Don't fret over things that are outside of your control. Don't fret over things that might be tomorrow. As sufficient as the evil for today, you know, those things Jesus had already talked about. But even with knowing those things, most certainly there is that worry of things outside of our control. And, you know, things outside of our control and a consideration of that. In other words, I don't know that the Lord means that we should just sit back and go, oh, well, you know, I don't have any control, nothing I can do about it. You know, just don't worry about it at all. Let me explain what I mean by that, because I know that that is the idea probably that Jesus is talking about in many situations and circumstances, but that's not possibly a hard and fast rule for every situation. Let me show you Psalms 107, and there are several instances the psalmist gives here. We're only going to read one of those that makes the point, but you can read several there that he gives that makes this same point. He keeps coming back and says, now here's the point of all this. But verse 17, Psalms 107, begin at verse 17, he says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. In other words, they've gotten themselves into this problem. And sometimes we do that. Even though, you know, we can't do anything to fix it, we're the ones that got ourselves there. You know, if I hadn't gotten in the car with someone else behind the wheel, I wouldn't be in this problem, right? You know, if I had been the one that had taken the wheel and taken control and was driving, you know, I wouldn't be in this problem. But here I am. Now I find myself there because I didn't. And so he says that there are things that take place that we bring upon ourselves. And he says, their soul abhorreth all manner of food, and they draw near into the gates of death. Oh man, they are worried, aren't they? I mean, they are sick with worry. Their soul abhors even food, and they're just withdrawn to the gates of death. Verse 19 says, then they cry unto Jehovah in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distress. He sends his word and heals them and delivers them from their destructions. And then, after each of these circumstances and situations that he talks about that people find themselves in, he says this, verse 21, oh, that men would praise Jehovah for his loving kindness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with singing. Oh, that man would. And so he says, yeah, there's even benefit in things that we cannot control over and things that have brought us to despair and agitation and fear. And when we're just so deeply troubled that, you know, we don't even want to eat. And he says that, oh, that man then would rely upon God, understand his relationship with God and what God does and how God cares for them. And in all circumstances and situations, be offering sacrifices of thanksgiving. Okay. But that's not what the lesson's all about. Stop your minds now. And we're going to change direction. See? Makes you wish you were behind the wheel, doesn't it? And, oh, Joe, we don't go there. We're going to change directions. Well, we're going to change directions a little bit. And that is, you know, there are some things that should trouble us that may not trouble us. It's amazing. We get troubled over various things and different things in life. And then there are things that just don't seem to bother us at all that really should be bothering us. These are all pretty simple and pretty basic, but nonetheless, I think that they're beneficial even for us that might consider ourselves more mature Christians. And to think about things that should trouble us. Over in Luke chapter 7 and in verse 40, we have this incident where this individual has invited Jesus into his home. He has even called him rabbis, you know, given the respect by word, but he really not given any respect by action. He hadn't done anything, not only as far as common courtesies, but most certainly entertaining the idea that Jesus is a master teacher, is a rabbi. And so he hasn't washed his feet. He hasn't taken care of him. He hasn't anointed him with oil or anything. But there's this sinful woman from the community that comes in and starts, anointing Jesus' feet, you know, with her tears as she's weeping. And she wipes and kisses his feet. Then not only with the wetted feet from her tears, but with the hair from her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Verse 39 says, "Now when Simon," or when the Pharisee that had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived what manner of woman this is that touches him, that she is a sinner." And so here, that's what he's thinking, you see. That's going on in his heart. And that's all an interesting story in and of itself. But the point for us is this. Following those thoughts that he had in his mind, verse 40, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Teacher, say on." The Lord had something to say to Simon. And at least Simon said, "Well, go ahead, Lord. Go ahead, teacher. Go ahead. What's on your mind? What are you thinking?" And so the Lord had something to say to Simon. You suppose the Lord has something to say to me? You suppose the Lord has something to say to you? And is he speaking to us? Are we listening? Are we at least like Simon when the Lord finally spoke out, showed him some respect and said, "Well, say on," even though up to this time he really hadn't shown him that respect as being a rabbi, as being a teacher. But now, at least he says, "Speak to me, Master. What do you have to say?" So, is the Lord talking to you daily? Is the Lord speaking to us daily? And if the Lord isn't speaking to us daily, then maybe that ought to trouble us. And I think you already know that I'm not talking about, you know, some little still, small voice that might be whispering in your ear. Because a lot of people, they think that that's the Lord speaking to them daily, and that's sufficient to them. As they move on about their own little conjured ideas, and as they begin to fabricate, you know, as far as their own desires and what they would really like to do, well, then that must be the Lord directing me. And some, they read devotional books, and they read, you know, the writings of authors that have a lot of great and wonderful things to say, but that's all they ever get into are the things that are said about the things that the Lord has spoken unto us. You see, the Lord has spoken unto us. He speaks to us. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, we note here in the 3rd verse, when individuals were criticizing Jesus, that Jesus, in a sense, is saying, you know, if the Lord had spoken to you and you had listened, you might be a little more cautious with your criticism about me. Notice in the 3rd verse when he says, "But he said unto them, Have you not read? Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and they that were with him?" And then again, just moments later in the same conversation, in the 5th verse, Jesus says, "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath?" It doesn't make any difference what it is that Jesus has asked them in specific terms, what they have read or not read. The point is, he says, "Have you not read?" Well, why would you read? Why would Jesus criticize them for not having read? Well, we notice in the 19th chapter and in the 4th verse, when some come to Jesus trying to find a way that they can trouble him and trying to find a way to, you know, diminish his elevated state before those that were following him and believing in him. And so they have asked him a question here. And in the fourth verse, he answered and said, "Have you not read? Haven't you been reading? Haven't you noted what is recorded and scripted, written in the Scriptures?" The 22nd chapter of Matthew as well, and this will suffice, though we could turn to others. He said, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God?" Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God? That's why Jesus keeps referring to, "Have you not read?" Hasn't God spoken to you today? Well, how's God going to speak me today? Have you not read? Because God has things He wants to say to you. He has things He wants to say to me. He has things He wants to say to us. And I guess maybe this isn't totally just out there. He's not dying to say them, but He has died to say them unto us. So if the Lord's not speaking to us daily, then we ought to be troubled because He has somewhat to say unto us. And we're getting behind in our conversation with the Lord. A lot of time we have a lot to ask the Lord, to plead with Him and to request of Him and to demand of Him, and that's fine. But don't get behind in the conversation because God has some things to say to us as well. Matthew chapter 6. We notice here that Jesus in the fifth verse says, "And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, and for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue or in the street corners and to be seen of men." Verse 6, he says, "And when you pray, enter into your inner chamber." And verse 7, "In praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do." And then in verse 9 he says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. And Jesus here had much to say about prayer, but the point that I'd like for us to notice here is in the 11th verse when Jesus says, "Each day seek God by petition, providing as He does each day or daily, even the food that we eat." And so the point is just simply daily prayer. Philippians chapter 4 we turn to and read probably a familiar passage for especially those that are our disciples. This is one that we quite often have some kind of reference to in a lesson or a class or in a sermon or in a scripture reading, or even, you know, one of those that's put on a beautiful picture with background, you know, for us to think about on a slide or something or a card. He says, "And nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." In fact, he says here, possibly we are anxious because we have not read that the Lord wants us to petition Him and bring our cares and our worries and our desires and our needs and lay them at the foot of His throne. Oh, if only I had listened to the Lord when He said, "Be not anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Oh, if I'd only known that I could have left my request there with the Lord. Maybe then I could experience the peace of God which passes all understandings and that guards my heart in Christ Jesus. So we should be troubled if we are not praying daily as well. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18, we read, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." The Lord says, "I've got something to say to you." And so here He speaks to us through this ambassador of His, this spokesman that He has inspired. And He calls upon us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. He's saying, "That's why I'm talking to you. That's why I've revealed these things to you, so that you can develop, you can mature, you can have the tools, the means, the necessary ingredients, the nourishment, the nutrients, whatever, however you'd like to think of the Word of God, filling this need in us to develop and mature us and to help us to grow up. To grow up to be responsible children of God. And if we are not growing in the grace within God's favor and in an understanding of who the Lord is Himself, our Savior Jesus Christ, then we ought to be troubled. And like the psalmist said there in Psalms 107 that we referred to, maybe when we have found ourselves in a situation that we have gotten ourselves into that we have arrived at because we have read everything that is out there as far as the ideas and the philosophies that are presented from the great minds of the world. And we have read everything, I know that we really haven't, but we've read so many things from the great minds and the great thinkers of those who are students of the Word of God and write great devotional ideas and thoughts. And we have read everything that the commentators and that the scholars have provided about the Word of God. But we haven't read it. We haven't heard from God Himself. Then we may be in a vehicle of life that is carrying us down the road of instability, insecurity, and eventually destruction. Notice there we have on our outline not only verse 18, but we have verse 17. Now, verse 17 precedes verse 18, I realize, but I didn't want to cover it until after I'd covered verse 18. And so verse 18 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware, lest being carried away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness." And then he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Spiritual malnutrition is an unseen disease that depletes the spiritual nature that we have been created to have in this new creation in Jesus Christ. And so he says we need to be growing and maturing and developing in Jesus Christ so that that won't happen. So that we won't become mutants spiritually. So that we won't be spiritually, nutritionally deprived, so that we will not spiritually be ill and sick and famined. The Apostle John, as he wrote his letter, and he wrote there and to this beloved brother Gaius, he said, I I wish that all of you prospered like your soul prospers. You see, it's great to prosper, and it's great to be healthy, and it's great to be well, and it's great to be financially secure, and it's great to have, you know, the things that help us be comfortable because we feel good and because we're taken care of. But John says, if that matched the security and the health of your soul, and here he's saying it as a compliment because he judges this brother in Christ as being spiritually strong, spiritually well developed, of soul and spiritual life mature. He says, I just wish that all of your life could be like you are spiritually. Psalms 46. Verse 1 says it all, but we'll read here a couple of other passages complimenting it. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. There's a lot of insecurity, there's a lot of instability, there's a lot of change. There's a lot of deliberate change in the world. There's a lot of change in the way that we normally would like to see things going and being in the world, but they're not. But that doesn't mean that God's still not the refuge of our soul. It's not the place that we can go for security and for safety, even though everything else is falling down around us. And we should be troubled. If we are falling apart like the world that's falling apart around us because it's not going the way that we would like for it to go. Because God is still there, he says, though everything around us is falling apart, he is still there for our refuge. And if he's not, our refuge and our strength and a very help in the time of trouble, then we ought to be troubled. You see, there are some things that should trouble us if the Lord is not speaking to us daily. If we are not praying according to the faith that He has revealed in His Word, that we can then ask in faith the things that He has promised, that we can pray to Him believing. If we are not growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if God is not our refuge and our strength, our very help in the time of trouble, then we should be troubled. One more. Acts chapter 24. And as you can see, you can just add all kinds of ideas and thoughts to this, can't you? And that'd be good for us too. What else might we ought to be troubled about if these things are not a part of our life? But we close with this. When Acts chapter 24, we notice in the 24th verse it says, but after certain days Felix came with Drusilla his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me. Now, it probably doesn't make a lot of difference here. The translators, you can kind of wrestle with it. You can kind of see it going either way. And so some translators lean a little bit more to that Felix, after he was hearing the gospel, that Felix was wrestling with righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. And that may be. But it's also grammatically just as possible that that was the sermon Paul preached. And so Paul was preaching to him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. But either way, notice here, Felix was terrified. It hit home. It worked, didn't it? But what? But he said, oh, I can put it off a little longer. Right now it's just not a convenient season. You know, right now it's not a good time for me. I still have some more righteous things to wrestle with, because we're told he was a pretty unrighteous dude. And right now I still have a few things, you know, to keep in order to keep my bad reputation. I don't need to change right now. You know, people need to be a little bit afraid of me. And so when I have a convenient season, Felix should have been so troubled that when he went back to his palace bedroom that night, he tried to lay his head down. He could not sleep a wink. He should have been so troubled in conscience and in heart, and where he stood before the Lord, if he came before him in judgment that very night, where he would be, how he would stand, what answer could he give, what justification would there ever be, considering the life that he was leading and where he now stood, and the opportunity that was before him to have all of that erased and all of that forgiven and all of that atoned for in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But he was only troubled briefly. If you're only troubled when you hear a little bit of the word and you know that you need to render obedience to the gospel, or that you need to bring your life back in alignment with God's will, but you're only troubled for the little bit that you hear such things as righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, may your sleep flee from you. May you not be able to get a wink of sleep. May a thousand fleas from a thousand... No, wait, excuse me. No, sir. May you be troubled until you surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate your attentiveness. I appreciate you didn't boo, didn't throw any paper airplanes at me, anything like that. And I would appreciate it, though as simple as it may be. You know, there are a lot of things that are really simple. Oh, they're just so simple in life. They ought to be easy. But you know, there are a lot of things that are simple that aren't easy. But I'd be most appreciative if we would think about these brief thoughts and ideas and be troubled if they and other things that we can think of and bring into our own thoughts and into our own meditation and our own minds, if it's not in alignment with God's will. If anyway you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ this morning, why be troubled? Why not today? Put behind you all of those things. Let the Lord carry them. That's what He said, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Be no longer troubled. That would be the greatest thing that you could do in response to what the Lord has spoken to you and me this morning from His Word. Come as we stand and as we sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus call.